listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading, and it is time to dig into God's Word this morning. Our guest pastor, the Reverend Daniel Quinn from Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas. Good morning, Pastor Quinn.
Good morning.
Thanks for being our guest today, helping us study God's Word. Looking forward to getting into Matthew 19 with you today. Share with us a little bit about your congregation, Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas.
Yes, we're about a medium-sized congregation, about 400 baptized members. We are the only Missouri Synod Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, which is a community about 30 miles north of Houston, of about 100,000 people. It's made up of seven villages, and we're in the Panther Creek Village part of the Woodlands. It's an interesting place because it's all in the woods, and there's rules that you can't have signs out too gaudy looking, and so it's kind of hard to find us. So you just have to get your GPSs out and get there. But we've got a preschool. We've got we have a good thing going here.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry there and to proclaim the good news of Jesus in the Woodlands, Texas, even if it might be a little hard to find.
That's right.
We are studying.
It's worth the look, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are studying Matthew chapter 19 today, verses 16 through 30. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to dig into this text?
Well, it's an interesting series of events here. This follows directly upon Jesus taking the little children in his arms and saying, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you'll not enter it at all. And then you get this rich young man coming to Jesus and saying, what must I do to have eternal life? Where Jesus just taught you don't do anything. And so he goes through with the young man here how that all works. And it's really amazing to watch Jesus at work as the master teacher. He doesn't just tell him. He helps him to learn it for himself. And it's a very powerful lesson he learns. And then, so powerful, then the disciples have questions after that. And so Jesus gets to teach them as well about this whole thing, about with man it is not possible, but with God all things are possible. And then one thing I'm not going to get to in the sermonette, but then Peter asks him, oh, what about us? We left everybody and everything. And Jesus says, yes, you leave for my name, you receive. But don't get too big ahead, because those many who are first will be last, and last will be first. And then what follows is the workers in the vineyard, and the last will be first, and the first will be last. And then after that, Jesus says, you know, he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So it's just a rich section of Matthew all through these two chapters here.
Very good. Let's take a look at the text, Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. All right, so a young man came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? A question people ask even today.
Yes, and it's the word that is wrong is do. You can't do anything to have eternal life. And that's what I was saying before about the context. But Jesus just made that point with the little children. I don't know if this young man was there or not when he did that, but you can't do anything. And if I were Jesus, and it's a good thing I'm not, because I'd have botched it all up, but I'd have said, that's what I'd have said. Well, you can't do anything. But Jesus teaches him that instead. He teaches him. He redirects him off of himself and onto Jesus, and then shows him that he himself can't do anything. And it's pretty amazing how Jesus does that. But the question he has, though, is something we do have, and it's depending on us and what we have instead of faith in Jesus. And that's the biggest, that's basically original sin. That's what the devil tempted Adam and Eve with. You'll be like God. You'll make the call. You'll decide the decisions. And that's what our old Adam wants to do all the time.
And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments."
Yeah. That's the refocus. Why do you ask me what is good? The way that word "me" is positioned in the Greek text, it's the second word. It's emphasis. So it's, why do you ask me what is good? And if the man could have answered that question correctly, everything would have been fine, because Jesus said, "There's only one who is good." There is only one who is good, and of course, that one would be God. And if the man would have realized that Jesus, the man he was talking to, standing there, was God in the flesh, he would have been coming to the right place, and he would have been in good shape. But he didn't realize that. He didn't have faith in that, and he wanted to focus on himself instead of Jesus. And so Jesus says, "Okay, all right." He knew the man's heart, and he says, "Okay, you want to talk about what you do? Let's talk about the commandments. Go ahead. Keep the commandments, and you'll enter life."
Mm-hmm. And the man said, said to him, "Which ones? which commandments should I keep? Which ones are the important ones?"
Yeah. Is there any to highlight here? Is there any I could do better with? One of the things I read is that this perhaps was also kind of a sign of disrespect towards Jesus, where the man was kind of testing Jesus rather than actually asking, and he was saying, "Well, which ones?" like that. Because obviously the man, well, I don't know, I imagine the man knew what the commandments were.
And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That sound familiar?
Yes, second table of the law. And Jesus summarizes it with his last one, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's what all the other ones all add up to. And so these should all sound very familiar. You shall not murder, adultery, steal, bear false witness, honor your father and mother. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself.
Hmm. The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?"
Now, again, if I'd have been Jesus, I'd have said, "How arrogant do you think you are to be able to have kept all the commandments?" But Jesus didn't say that, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the fact that he thinks he has is quite amazing and astounding. And then he somehow, though, what's interesting in there also is he doesn't think that was enough. You know, he doesn't, and I've kept all these, but somehow still I'm lacking something. I'm missing something. I still am not thinking I've got the kingdom yet. So what am I missing? And there might be the Holy Spirit at work there in him, because that's not what gets him eternal life. And now he's starting to question, what do I lack?
So he asks, I've kept all these, what do I lack? Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me."
Yeah, that's, I love the word "complete" there. You know, if you will be complete, you know, this is what you need to be complete. Give up everything, trust completely in God, and give it to the poor, and follow me, God in the flesh. Follow me, Jesus says, and that's what completeness is faith in the Lord and following him.
When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Yes, that's where he learned his lesson. That was the big climax moment as far as the teaching lesson goes, where Jesus taught this man there was nothing he could do to have eternal life because he was not able to sell all he had and give it to the poor and follow Jesus. Just like none of us can do either by ourselves, it's certainly something that is a gift of faith. Faith in Christ enables us to remain faithful and to have him first. And for the times we fail, that faith also receives his forgiveness that he earned for us.
Looking over this first paragraph, verses 16 through 22, Pastor, I know we've gone through it verse by verse. Is there anything, looking over it as a whole, that we might have missed, or anything you'd like for us to learn from this first paragraph as a whole?
The theme being the man's question was flawed. You can't do anything to obtain or have eternal life. And the commandments, the law, shows us that. When it says do all these things, even when we think we've done them, we find out, there is still something lacking. And what's lacking, if we think we're saved by the commandments, what's lacking is faith. Faith in God to rescue us, to save us, like the kingdom of God being given to the little children in the verses that preceded this text.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and look at the rest of the text. We'll look at verses 23 through 30 right after the break. We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Daniel Quinn from Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas. We're in Matthew chapter 19 today. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Daniel Quinn from Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas. We're in Matthew chapter 19 today. Pastor, are we ready to take a look at verses 23 through 30?
Sounds good.
All right. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." All right. So Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So he's not saying it's impossible, but he does say it is only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, with great difficulty, and with the analogy he uses with the camel and the eye of the needle, that's making an impossible claim, though. Anyway, with great difficulty, the great difficulty is to realize that with man it's not possible, only possible with God, which is what Jesus will answer later. But here he is saying it is possible. He's saying that it's not it's not being rich that keeps a person out of the kingdom of heaven. And there are many rich, faithful people in Scripture, and that so that's not what keeps one out. What being rich does is makes it very difficult, because the temptation is always there to depend on the riches rather than to depend on God. But when we depend on God and then we use the riches for His purposes, that's a wonderful thing. And that's you see many folks doing that today, that faithful people who are who make good use of what God has given them, kind of like the parable of the talents. The God gives it, you use what you have, and if you use it well, then He'll continue. It's not being rich that's the problem. Being rich causes the problem of making it difficult, because the temptation is so great to depend on the riches rather than on God.
Well, it sure seems impossible for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, but I suppose anything's possible.
Well, only with God.
Right.
Only with God.
I guess you'd have to weave the camel into a thread to get him to the needle. All right.
Oh, there's an idea.
When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" It sounded impossible to them as well.
Yeah, they got the point. They were astonished, and that's another thing. It was thought then, and as it is often now, that if someone has great wealth and possessions, they must be living right for God to bless them like that. And so they were thinking, so they were confused. Wait, he's got wealth, that must mean he's doing good, right? But no, wait, now you're saying that it is impossible for someone like this to get into heaven by himself. And so that really threw them for a loop, and made a good teaching lesson for them as well. It's faith that saves, not wealth, not riches, and that the blessing of wealth and riches is separate from that, different from that. It's not, one's not dependent on the other.
But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
that's a good memory verse right there.
Mm-hmm.
With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That can apply to every part of our lives, certainly salvation and heaven and eternal life, but also everything else, too. We can't even live, we can't breathe without God providing the oxygen to breathe. We're completely dependent on God in all things, and when we have the faith that believes that God gives us by His Spirit through Word and Sacrament, it really helps with life when we're facing all the difficulties and problems we face. It's like, okay, God's in charge here, and with Him all things are possible. With us, nothing really is possible. So I guess it's really time to be depending on Him for all things, to give me what I need, the ideas, the strength, the abilities, the goods, the finances, or whatever is needed to get through the difficulty, and it all comes from Him.
Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?"
I love Peter. I really do. He either gets it all right or he gets it all wrong. Well, here was an all wrong one. He said, "Hey, what about us? Look at he wanted to get in on some of this giving up everything action here." And so he said, "We left everything. What about us?" And again, Jesus, the great teacher, doesn't do it. I would have a knee-jerk reaction also. "No, didn't you hear what I just said, Peter? You can't." That's not how it works. But he said, but that's not what Jesus said. He acknowledges what kind of gifts that can be anticipated, and what's most important, emphasizes what's most important in all of that. And then at the end says, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of you here, but at the end he says, but many who are last will be first, and the first last. So.
And so Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Let's pause there before we finish up the rest of the verses there. Truly I say to you, in the new world, what is this new world?
He describes it later, or in the next words, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. It is the second coming. It's when Jesus comes again and restores all things to himself. It's the great time of the parousia, and so when that happens, the 12 disciples will also have the 12 thrones ruling, basically meaning they'll have positions of honor and rule in the kingdom of God in heaven. So,
and so the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What does this mean to sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel?
Yes. It's talking of the new Israel, not the 12 tribes, Judah, Benjamin, and all of those. It's the new Israel, the Church of God. It's what the number 12 is refers to when we get to Revelation. But it's they're going to have positions of honor in the new kingdom over God's church, and so in heaven.
Mm. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Pastor?
Receiving 100-fold parallel passage in Mark, it talks about in this time and in the time to come, so that there's blessings now and there's blessings then. But the blessings now are by faith, and then it will be by sight. So by faith we receive 100-fold for following Jesus and faith in him above all things. And the way that tends to play out, there are physical blessings, that's great, but really it's how we view those blessings, how we see them, what we have. It's the contentment with what God gives us that makes what it may not look like to others as much seem like it's 100 times more than that, because it's appreciated and it's seen as a gift, whereas some people could have a lot more wealth, but they're not content with it, and so there's all this turmoil and worry and concern, whereas having the blessings of the gifts that God gives with contentment, there's peace and there's joy in making use of those gifts that God gives. And so that's the blessings of following Christ and faith in him. There's gifts now, and there's by faith, and there's gifts to come by sight that will be just amazing.
Looking over the text as the whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text?
I'm sorry for the sigh there. The theme of that Christ makes us complete. That's the theme of that I see in this passage. That it's that in Christ, what we do and what we have are a great thing, an amazing thing. They're a celebration of what God has already done for us, and how the one who is good, Christ, God in the flesh, has accomplished for us eternal life, and he gives it to us now, and we celebrate it now by faith until the day when we get to see it all by sight, and it's a glorious thing.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Daniel Quinn from Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas. Pastor Quinn, thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us study this text in Matthew chapter 19 today.
You're very welcome. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas. Coming up in just a little bit, we have more His Time to Help Sanctify Your Morning. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.